I think I touched on it earlier this morning, is that we often have this very subtle idolatry that we create God in our own image and our own likeness and have him to be what we want him to be. In all of these three situations, they wanted a king to satisfy themselves, whether it was identification, to be like the nations, whether it was to be relieved from the oppression of the Rome in John 6, or whether it was just because of the vacuum of leadership in the case of Gideon. But it was all for selfish motivation. One of the things that I think is probably really critical for us, and why this happens very much today, is the same thing that we've been speaking about, and it comes out again in Romans 1, is this idea of this truth of retaining God in our knowledge. The idea that God must be first and foremost in our thought, and it's the God as he has revealed himself in the scriptures. And one of the things that is marked by that reality is a terror, right? Because God is a terrible God, to realize that if we are come to deal with the God of the universe, he is holy, he is light, and it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There's a holy terror connected with the true and living God. And by our nature and by our sin, that is too severe for us and we want to avoid it. But what we learn through the revelation of God in the person of Christ is not only that God is light and just and to be feared and to be terror, to cause terror in us, and these two balancing realities of God's character needs to be retained in our knowledge. If I bend and go in one direction, then anything goes. If I take this perspective that God is love, well, he's forgiven, he's kind, he's, you know, and we minimize his holiness, then we get careless. But if we go the other direction and we only see the severity of God and his light and his character of holiness, then we don't want to have anything to do with him because it encroaches upon us, it strikes terror in our hearts. And so what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation of God, the Logos, the Word, God expressed, is that these two truths come together in perfection so that, yes, we have to be terrified of the holiness of God, but we also need to realize about the love of God. And these two truths come together in order so that we don't want to substitute anything else. That's the subtle idolatry that we settle for very often in our minds. We settle and we reduce God to one or the other. And we're only satisfied with a God of love because then I don't have to really care too much about living according to his holiness. And how that often happens with, you know, when we're younger, we think, well, God is love, so he'll put up with my foolishness. He'll put up with my carelessness, and I can go and do whatever I want to do, because God is love. But the reality is God is holy as well. And anything that we do that displaces God as he has revealed himself in the scripture, then it's going to be substituted with something less. And so the desire for a king is a desire for a king that satisfies my perspective. I heard one person say, is one of the things that's affecting us today is we've taken the Walmart mentality and applied it to Christianity. Whatever suits me. The Burger King. Have it your way. No, God has revealed himself in the scripture. He is to be we're to be terrified of him, the fear of God. And yet, by his grace, he has brought us into relationship, and it's balanced by the love of God. You separate anything, you separate these two features of God, and you've created an idol. And you could use all the God words that you want. And we often do use God words, and yet it's not the God of the scriptures. It's an idol. God is holy, and God is love, and those two realities have to press in on my thinking. I have to retain those in my knowledge, in my thought. We talked about moral decline. Romans 1 talks about moral decline. And what you have is, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Mm-hmm. And so what comes in? Substitution. So they worship the creation more than the Creator. Moral decline, God gives them up, and they leave the natural order. Moral decline. We need to retain God in our knowledge. The revelation of Himself is holy, that we should be shaking. When last have I shaken in my being because I thought about the holiness of God? When last have I shaken in my being because if God caught me doing what I was doing or thinking what I was thinking, did it shake me up to the point that I'm a broken person? And yet to be comforted by the reality that His grace and His love look past that and has found an answer in Christ, that He still draws me in and calls me His child.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to add that God knows our very thoughts even as we're sitting here under the sound of His word. And that's always a challenge to me, because there are so many things in this world that can distract us, even in a meeting like this, you know. And I rejoice in the fact that we are able to come together and to open His word and to study it, but I have to be careful that I'm not distracted by the world around me, which includes everybody, even though 99% of us here are safe. But truly, we want to please Him, but we want to know Him, and we want to follow His word and His instructions. And that's why we come together under the sound of His word. And we often fail in that because we don't study the word as we should. But when we are together in this way, He opens the way for us to receive from Him the blessings that He desires. And that is the knowledge of Him. I believe the knowledge of who He is and what He has done, the grace He has shown to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus, is really beyond human comprehension. Because no one has ever loved me as God has. But He expects a response to that love, a response of service, a response of godly living. He expects that as we receive Him through the Lord Jesus. So let us remember that He is all of these things, that He is a blessing, but He expects a response from you and me.
In terms of the passage here in Judges, I was just thinking of in verse 22, how the men of Israel, and we like that as well, wanted a man, wanted Gideon in this specific instance to rule over them, and not only just Gideon, but his sons and his son and his grandson. And I think it's a natural tendency for us to look to a man as a leader, and that's, you know, that's going on around us right now. In the reality that people are looking for men to, or a man to lead them, and we know that in the future they're going to be looking for a man to lead them too. And so this it almost is a natural tendency of our hearts to be looking at men to lead us, and not looking in many cases at the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ.